Welcome.
Welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Praise the name of Jesus. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on here in the church. All we need to do is believe. I mean, Jesus told his people, whenever they said, Lord, what is the problem here? He said, only believe. Scott and I got to talking about this last night. We sat out there for a long time, and we talked about this. And I'm going to talk about these things again, because it never ceases to amaze me. When Jesus tells us to do something, usually we don't do it. We really don't. I don't understand why we go through this word and we read it and we don't believe it. But it's there for all of us. Yes. I think that the reason we don't see God do more miracles and more healings and answer more prayer is because we don't believe. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me that when he makes a statement, in fact, he's done so many things to teach me principles of the kingdom and how it works, and I don't believe either in so many times. In fact, I'll give you an example. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's a story about learning the principles of the kingdom of God. And we have to believe with no doubt in our heart that these principles really do work. And if you don't believe they work, they won't work. Only he knows whether we believe or whether we don't. I want you to think about this. I was sitting at my desk back in the workforce days. And I was an engineer. I worked for a large corporation, had a pretty sizable job, traveled all over the United States and even beyond the borders of the United States, Mexico and Hawaii, and all over. I'd done a lot of traveling, and I'm trying my best to learn the principles of the kingdom of God and believe them. I'm studying God's word. I mean, studying. And he said, blessed are those that study my word. But I'm trying my best to believe, and I was sitting in my office meditating on some stuff, and the general manager of that plant walked into my office, and he said, Thurman, have you read this fax? And I said, well, I don't know. Who is it from? And he said, it's from corporate. And he handed it to me, and I read it, and it says that if certain things happen within our company, they might have to shut down the engineering division. Well, I'm in charge of the engineering division. That means I don't have a job. How many people have had those kind of problems in your life? So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking about this. I said, gee. Now, first of all, who are you and me working for? You know, when somebody tells us something like this, this shouldn't even be an issue. People come up to me and Cheryl all the time and say, I'm out of work. I don't have anything to do. Will you please pray for me? I need a job. Well, have you prayed yet? No, that's why I waited to come out here so I can get you to pray for me. I haven't prayed for it, but I want you to pray. I know when you pray, God is going to answer and I'm going to get a job. Why in the world do they wait to get, why don't they just pray and believe it's done? Right there. But because we don't believe. So anyway, I read that and it said if certain things were to happen within the corporation that they might have to shut down the engineering division because they were going to sell it to somebody else in this other place. They didn't believe in having regional engineers, and that's why they had so many problems out there, because they didn't keep up their facilities and vehicles like they're supposed to. So anyway, I looked at it and these words came out of my mouth. Gee, if they do that, I wonder what would happen to me. And immediately, now, did that sound like a gross sin? Really, I mean, did that sound like a gross sin?
Really
It doesn't really sound like a gross sin. It sounds like what most people would say, right? And you know that the average Christian would never just go around sinning just to be sinning. They would never do that. And so anyway, when I think about what I read and what I said, gee, I wonder what would happen to me. All of a sudden, in one flash of a heartbeat, I'm sitting there with my head is just as dry as it is right now. I had no runny nose. Everything was good. And all of a sudden, bam, sinus fluid began to run out of both nostrils and over my lip and drip off on the floor. The general manager, he looked down at me and he says, my God, what just happened to you? Did the river break loose in your head or what happened? I told him, no, that's okay. I'll take care of that. There ain't no use casting your pearls before swine. Because they don't know what's going on anyway. So it's difficult enough to try to train or change or whatever a Christian. And if you got somebody that don't know nothing about God's Word, you're going to see that we don't believe. So anyway, as I talked to him a minute, he said, wow. I said, so anyway, I handed him the facts back, and he walked out of my office, and as soon as he walked out of my office, guess what the first thing I did was? Lord, I repent. I knew the principles of the kingdom of God, and I knew that I knew I had just sinned. I knew I had just done something that I shouldn't have done, and that was doubt God's word. Now, is doubting God's word a sin?
Yes.
It is a sin. So get that in your head that if you doubt His word, that is a sin, and it will bring problems upon your life that you won't like. You're supposed to never doubt. You're supposed to walk in obedience to His word and seek a blessing over everything, and there's to be no unforgiveness or bitterness or nothing in your heart. So anyway, when I said, Lord, I repent for not trusting You. Now, Lord, I want You to know I will trust You from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I will trust You, and I'll do anything. I'll do what You tell me, and I'm so sorry that I doubted Your word. I know You're going to take care of me. But I said, now then, I rebuke this spirit of hell that's attacked me, and I command this devil to leave me and to not come back in Jesus' name. And it just kept right on running. What do you do now?
Stand on your word.
You do everything you can do, you stand. Ephesians clearly tells us when you've done all you know to do, stand. Well, anyway, I rebuked that devil, and I said, you devil of hell, I said, you have no authority over me. I have repented. If I repent and ask the Lord to forgive me, am I washed in the blood now?
Yes.
Am I clean?
Yes.
Yes, I'm clean. So does the devil have any legal right to me?
No.
No, but is he an easy fellow to kick out? In some cases, he's not easy to kick out. I mean, he will stay in there and he will hang on tooth and nail. I mean, that devil, he wants to stay in. Once he gets in your house, he don't like to be evicted.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I remember. I never had to go through this with nobody till Tim. We were going to build Tim another gym over here in that two-story house behind him. He had it rented to a couple. And when we decided we wanted to build a building down there, Tim had to go to the county. He first went to them and asked them to leave. And they said, well, we have a contract that goes to a certain time, so we're not leaving until that's over. Tim said, but I need you all to leave. It never ceased to amaze me the problems we went through with that man. In fact, one of the things that is, you never know how people are going to react when something like this happens. But we tried to get these people to move, and they wouldn't move. He didn't want to leave at all. So you think this boy was a good Christian boy. So we tried and tried to get him to move. In fact, one day I was over there, and I was talking to the young boy, and as I was talking to him, I said, You know, I talked to him about other things because he said it in his head he wasn't going to leave till the contract was up. So I thought, okay, I got to do something else here. So anyway, as I talked to him a little bit, I was out there one day, and he's out there, and he had planted some stuff in the backyard, like a small garden. I said, son, how's your garden doing? He said, you would not believe the money and the time and everything I have spent on this garden, and it will not grow. I cannot get it to grow. I said, so you think maybe there might be a problem here or something? Why it's not growing? Because you're watering it and everything. I said, have you prayed over this garden? He said, pray over a garden? I mean, who in the world ever prays over their garden? Well, I said, my dad used to have a garden, and he prayed over it all the time. I said, those little cherry tomatoes, we had those things running out our ears. I said, Dad would go out there, and if those cherry tomato vines weren't putting out, he'd give him a little switch off of that tree, and he'd switch that. He said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to produce cherries. I said, he'd spank that tree, that bush. He said, Thurman, you're crazy. I said, I am not crazy. I said, I saw my dad do it. And I said, you can talk to the plants and you can make them grow. I said, Jesus talked to a fig tree and it died, did he not?
Yes.
And then he tells us if we believe we can do anything, he can do and more.
Amen.
So anyway, I told him, I said, you know, you need to pray. He said, I never heard anybody pray over their garden. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I just stood up there right in front of his garden and he's standing right there. To show him that I'm a man of God, that I believe what I say, and I walk in obedience to his word. That man, I prayed for that garden. And I said, now, Lord, I want to thank you that you're going to make this garden produce great so they'll have a good crop. I went back over there in about 3 weeks, and that garden was absolutely awesome. Isn't it amazing? So I got to talking to him about it, and I told him, I said, you know, I know we have a contract here that we're going to go on a little longer, but we would sure like to build Tim another building, and we would like to be able to tear this one down. And I can't tear it down until you move out. So he said, okay, I will move out. See, if you do good, you can win them over. You don't do evil things to people. You do good things. But anyway, after the young boy did move out and everything went okay, they started tearing the building down there. He come by to see me one day, and I told him. He said, Mr. Scherzer, I'm so sorry that I treated you like I did. And he said, I'm just so sorry. I said, that's okay, son. I understand. You had a contract, and you wanted to stay. Had to have a place to stay, so you wanted to stay there. So I said, we let you stay, and we've done good for you, and you finally realized that what we were doing, we were trying to do for the good of everybody involved. And so I appreciate you taking your stuff and moving out. If you're good to somebody, does the Lord ever tell us to return evil for evil?
No.
That's what most of us want to do, is return evil for evil. But we don't want to do that. We want to walk in love. So anyway, the Lord showed the boy. It was amazing. You know what the first thing that popped into my head when I went back over there about 3 weeks later and that garden was this tall and everything was growing? You know what the first thing popped in my head? What do you think it was? The first thought. That's unbelievable. I didn't say anything, but in my head, I looked at that garden and I thought, this is unbelievable. Is that what we do?
Yes.
Now, who do you think that is that's moving on your heart and your brain? That's definitely not God, was it? Isn't that something? When we learn to do things God's way. But anyway, we go back to this deal about I've repented of the sin. And I told the Lord I'm sorry, and I'm sorry I didn't trust him. And I'm going to trust him for everything now, and I'm going to thank you, Lord, for making everything work perfect. In Jesus' name. Now, I said, now, devil, the scripture clearly says, in fact, I want Cheryl to read the scripture that I use. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. I want you to listen to this scripture, and this is a scripture I quoted to the devil. Devil, I have power over you, and this is what the Word of God says in Luke 10, 19 and 20. Well, Cheryl's going to read that verse to you, and I want you to listen to what I said. Okay, I read Luke 10, 19 and 20.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Let's go on.
You want me to keep reading?
Yeah.
Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Okay, now stop and meditate on that. I want every one of you to look at that and to read that off the board yourself. And as you read that and look at that, how much power does it look like God has given us over the evil spirits? If he has given us all power, if he really has all power and all authority, and the enemy has to be subject to us, he has to do what we tell him, then why don't he do that? Why don't he answer when we tell him to get out of our life? What happens? Why doesn't he do it?
Because he doesn't think we believe it.
He says, I have a contract on you.
Yes.
I ain't legal. I'm not moving. You think about this. This, when you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, technically speaking, how much power and authority do you have?
Oh, no.
Okay. Let me throw another little something in this rabbit trail. If you really know who you are, you're sitting there in your office, and a man walks in and says, I called him, I said, I need you to do some welding for me out there next week. And I said, can you do it? And he said, yeah, I sure can. I said, okay, what time are you going to do it? He said, I'll be here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning to do that welding for you. I said, okay, no problem. And I talked to the man. I said, you are a Christian, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I'm a Southern Baptist. I go to church all the time. Okay. So anyway, we talk a little while, and then later on, everything goes away, and then the day comes to do the welding. I'm there that morning, and I walk in, and in comes this Baptist, Southern Baptist guy. He said, Thurman, I'm sorry, we won't be able to do that welding today. I said, why not? He said, the man that's going to do the work's got a splitting migraine headache. Pain comes from the devil. I said, so? I said, have you prayed for the boy yet? And he said, well, what do you mean prayed for him? No, I didn't pray for him. I said, I thought you told me you were a Christian. Now, did the Lord tell us as his children to pray about
everything?
So what is it we don't understand about pray about everything?
I don't know.
See, that's like the other day when we were out here working on something and somebody said something. And I said, yep. And so we had to pray. And somebody said, has it come to that? Yes, it should come to that every time. Is that right?
Pray over everything.
Pray over everything with thanksgiving.
Praise.
So anyway, I told the man, I said, well, let's pray. I said, it's just an evil spirit. I said, he's putting that headache on that boy. I said, don't want that boy out here today because he knows that I'll talk to that boy about Jesus. And I said, he don't want me to talk about Jesus. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've given me all power and all authority. In Luke 10, 19 and 20, you give me authority and power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and he has to be subject to me.
Yes.
Is that what that said?
Yes.
Is that really what that said?
Yes.
If the devil has to be subject to you and you know you got it, so then why should you be afraid of the devil? So anyway, I took authority over that spirit and commanded those spirits to come out of that young boy. I think Mark was his name or whatever it was. Commanded those spirits to come out and not come back. And I commanded that pain to go away. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. I talked to the general contractor, the guy there that was a Southern Baptist. I said, do you agree with my prayer? Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us agree. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and said, wow, I never heard anybody do nothing like this on a job. But he said, yeah, I agree with you. I said, good. Do you believe that the Lord heard our prayer? He said, well, of course, God always hears prayer. I said, okay. Call the guy that's going to do the welding and tell him you don't have a headache and he can come in and do the work. He said, Thurman, are you serious? He said, is that sound like the devil? Yes. Sure it is. I mean, how much power and authority did the Lord say he give you and me?
All.
How much?
All.
So if I got all power and he has to obey me, then why do I let him impress a headache upon this man? I need to do some work for me. I have authority. I have power. I can kick him out. So I told him, I said, we've kicked out this devil. I said, now call that young man and tell him to come to work. I said, he don't have a headache no more. He said, are you serious? Do I sound serious?
Yes.
So anyway, he picked up his cell phone and he called the boy. He said, Mark, this is Bob, your boss. He said, I just talked to Thurman and he said, your headache is gone. And he told me to call you and tell you to come to work. Uh-huh. What? Your headache just left?
Hallelujah. Thank
you, Lord. I said, I told you. Now tell him to come to work and do the welding. So, boy, about 30 minutes later, that boy walked in my office and knocked. He just came up to the door, opened the door, and walked in. He said, are you Thurman Scherner? I said, I sure am. And he said, I want to meet you. I said, what do you mean? He said, Bob called me a while ago and said, I had a splitting migraine headache. It was killing me. He said, I couldn't stand. I'd taken some BC powders and all kinds of stuff and nothing worked. He said, you called him and told him to tell me to come to work. I had no headache. You had prayed and for me and the headache was gone. And he said, when he told me that, the headache left. Now, how come if it worked for me, it won't work for you? You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it believing. When you do it, you believe. You don't believe. You don't stand on God's word. If you believe, it will work for you too. God is no respecter of persons, right? So anyway, he done the work. Got all the welding done. Took him 3 or 4 hours. He came by my office. He said, Mr. Scherner, I want to thank you for praying for me. He said, I haven't had any headache pain at all. Now then, how much power and authority do we have over the enemy?
Oh.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
So anyway, as I'm meditating on this stuff, I'm thinking, devil, you're the one that's creating this problem in my head, in my sinuses. You're the one that when I sinned, and I did sin. I didn't trust the Lord. I was trusting my company, not the Lord. You ain't supposed to trust nothing but Jesus.
That's right.
Trust God. So anyway, so I said, okay. I said, Lord, I'm sorry and I repent for my sin and I don't care what happens. They shut this place down or whatever. I work for you. I don't work for nobody else. I work for you, Lord. And I'm going to trust you and you alone.
Yes.
I said, now Satan, I rebuke you. I've repented of all my sins. And after I've repented of all my sins, how much power and authority do I have over the devil? So how much does that mean he's got?
Zero.
Zero. I like that. I like it whenever I got 100% power here and the devil has zero over here, don't you? I'd a whole lot rather be on the side that's got 100% power instead of the one that has no power. But that's the way we act. We act like we have no power. And when we speak to the devil, he don't go away because he's a terror. And he knows he can deceive you. And he knows if I stay there, he knows if I don't leave, that you will not be able to do anything, that you won't do what is necessary to take the power and authority that God has given you. When Jesus told us to come into the throne room of God, how did he tell us to come in?
Boldly.
Come in bold as a lion, telling that devil how much power and authority you got, and then kick him out. Well, of course, as I'm learning these things myself, I think about the power that he give us. And the more I meditate on the scripture, the more I realize, behold, I give unto you power. One more time, honey. Read that whole verse. Both of them, 19 and 20. One more time.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Now, if I have that scripture hidden in my heart and the enemy attacks me, can I take that promise and tell the devil what to do and he has to obey me?
Yes.
Okay, so then why doesn't he do it? Why does he not obey me? So when he comes up here and I've repented of all sin, I kick out that devil, I command him to leave in the name of Jesus, and I tell him, Satan, you have got to leave and go away and never come back. Now, you must obey me in Jesus' name. So I command him to leave, and he don't leave. He just keeps running right off my chin. So if he didn't obey you that time, what do? You do it again. You need to take something and be bold as a lion. You need to take the word of God and you need to make sure that you know that you have power over that devil and that you quote these promises and you tell that devil where he's got to go and what he's got to do and you ain't taking no for an answer. And of course, you know, as you go through the course of the day, When you walk by somebody down there, you know, you're in the shop or whatever, you walk by, and as you walk by, they say, "Hi, Thurman, how you doing?" Say, "I'm doing okay. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus." You know what people do when they see you doing something like that? Let's give that boy a little room. He needs a little space. So anyway, I think about how this works. I got home that afternoon, my wife, when I walked in, as soon as I walked in, running on my chin, both sides, dripping on the floor. She said, "Wow, have you got a runny nose?" She said, "Let me get you some medicine out of the medicine cabinet." I says, "No. I know this is an attack to the devil. I know this is a devil. This is not a normal attack." I said, "I sinned." She said, "Well, what did you do?" And I told her what I did. She said, "Thurman, that's not a sin." I said, "Yes, it is. I'm supposed to trust Jesus, and I didn't trust him. Is that a sin?
Yes.
Are we supposed to trust Jesus?
Yes."
When I think about that night, and the next day, and the next night, and every day I'm rebuking this devil. I mean, I'm reading the scripture. If you really want to have great faith, you really got to meditate on the Word of God. Miss Jackie?
Yes.
If you read Luke 10:19-20 one time and then forget it and never read it again, or if you read that thing every day, 10 times a day, what do you think is going to happen if you read it 10 times a day? Amen. And you will take that power you've got and you'll start thinking, you know, Thurman may be telling us stuff that sounds crazy, but what he's telling us is written in God's Word.
Amen.
It clearly said that he gives us authority and power to trample on the devil and his demons. Is that what it said?
Yes.
And all power is given to us, and that beast has to be subject to us. He has to obey.
Amen.
It's kind of like reminds me of you when you got children. You got three boys, three healthy young boys, and there's the trash can's full. You say, boys, the trash can's full. When y'all take out the trash? Three boys. Jump up right quick and run to see if you can get to the trash can first. Oh, is that not the way it works?
No.
You got boys. Is that the way? So you know they don't do that, do you?
No, not
so they just keep on sitting there doing nothing. You say, boys, I need one of y'all to take out the trash. Nothing happens. And all of a sudden, Mama says, Bob? Yes, Mom? Take out the trash. And then maybe he may say, do I have to?
Yeah, we've heard that one.
How about Jack? Let him do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that the way it works?
It does.
Nobody wants to do it. So if you really want one of them to do something, you say, Bob? Yes, Mother? Take that, you see that trash can sitting right there, son, that's full of trash? Yes, ma'am. Do you see it's full and running over? Yes, ma'am. You take that trash out and put it in the trash outside. Okay? Do I have to? Oh. Yes, you have to. I'm telling you. She reaches for a board. He says, I'm gone, Mom. I'm gone. Is this kind of the way it works?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That's kind of the way the world works with the devil.
That's true.
I told Scott last night, I said, you know, I told him a story about a man of faith that had great faith. He was going to get on a bus. He walked up there to the bus and got in the bus, and there was a woman coming down the street. And as the bus was waiting, she's wanting this dog, her puppy dog, his father. I thought, how many times have I seen this happen? So anyway. The mother reached down and get a little rock on the ground and says, puppy, go back to the house. So there's a rock at him. And he kind of ducks his tail down and moves over a little bit, goes up here a little bit, and then he turns around and comes running back down here. You've seen this happen before, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They don't want to go. So anyway, he keeps doing this. And the bus is there, and the bus says, okay, you have 5 seconds. If you don't, here in 5 seconds, we're going to pull off without you. She jumps out of the bus, gets on the ground, grabs a handful of rocks, and throws them. Says, puppy dog, I said, go to the house now. Shoo, and just peppers him with them rocks. Man, he sucks his tail in under the back, and I mean, he's on the way, and he goes around the corner up there out of sight, and he don't come back. This man of faith looked at this woman and said, that's the way you do the devil.
That's right.
If you want to get rid of the devil, that's the way you do it. I wonder where he learned that.
The word.
Matthew 11:12. I want you to look at this scripture.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Does this begin to make sense now?
Yes.
It's just like me whenever I was there with this problem. I thought about that. I thought, you know, that's exactly the way the devil works. Once he gets in, if he gets in, he's like that tenant that ain't going to leave.
Nope.
But if you take the Word of God and stand on God's Word, it's real easy to kick out the devil. You have to do it boldly with great faith. And when you do, the devil has got to leave, and he knows he has to leave. But you have to get bold. Just like it says right there, since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. And that's the same way with this deal with this devil. Now think about how that worked. 4 days and nights, I would quote the word. 4 days and nights, I commanded the devil to leave my body. Every day, as I'm walking down the street, as I go to lunch, whatever, snot running out of my nose, dripping off of my chin. I know it's a demon. Now, this is what you got to learn to think like God. You got to realize that's a demon that's messing up your body, a demon. And he's not one of those that goes away when you say, Mr. Devil, will you please go away and leave me alone? He knows that you know that you know that you don't know who you are when you talk to him like that. But when you say, Satan, it is written. In Jesus' name, the scripture says, behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and the enemy shall let nobody hurt me. In Jesus' name, Satan, I rebuke you, and it says you have to be subject to me. So in Jesus' name, I demand and I command, according to God's word, for you to come out of me and leave and go to the abyss, and don't you mess with me no more. Do you hear me, you devil of hell? In Jesus' name, I demand that you come out. I demand, and I ain't playing no games, devil. I am going to demand, because that's what God's word says. I have been given 100% power and authority over you, and you're going to come out, and you're going to go away. You're going to leave me alone. And I demand and command right now that you come out of me, and you leave me, and you go to the abyss and never come back again. Go in Jesus' name and stay away. And it's done. Because it is written.
Yes.
And that night, after the midnight hour had fell, and that next morning I'm on the way to work when I got all that I could stand, and I fed up with the devil, I was done that, he left, and I was instantly healed.
Right. Hallelujah.
Not only was I instantly healed, but then all of a sudden, I'm totally... I have no runny nose, nothing, no headache, everything is perfect. Right. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving down the road, I'm in shock. I mean, I am in shock. I mean, I'm learning a principle. He's showing me a principle of the kingdom and how it works. And I look at that and I thought, Lord, it's awesome. It works. And then all of a sudden, right out there, flying across out there, there's a big banner flying across. Matthew 11:12. And I look at that and I said, Lord, I have read that verse. No telling how many times I've read that verse, but I've never understood that verse till right now. One more time, honey. Read that Matthew 11:12.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
And when I got violent with the devil, you know, the boy that comes to do the welding, all I did was everything I did there was by faith. When I commanded that devil to leave, first of all, I told him, I said, call him and tell him the headache's gone and he'll be able to come do that work. isn't it amazing the power that he give you? When a headache comes upon the average Christian, guess what we do?
Get some drugs.
I mean, we don't fight back. I mean, when pain and suffering, it's just like the other day I was listening to a man, and he was telling about how a friend of his got struck down with some kind of cancer or something. And he said I knew hardly nothing about the kingdom of God. But I was very well trained that Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. So he said, when I went to the hospital and they told me my friend was going to die, The only thing I could say was, no! My friend is not going to die. No, it is not going to happen in Jesus' name. And he said, that's all. The only thing I could think of, and that's the only thing I could say is, no. Who is he saying no to, the devil or God?
The devil.
He's saying no to the devil.
Yes. Yes.
And he said, no, and it's not going to happen, and you're not going to have my friend. And he said, that's the only thing I could say was no. And he said, the next time we went down to the hospital and they'd done a test on my friend, there was absolutely no cancer. And so that was 20-something years ago when that happened. Let's face it. If we believe that we have been given power and authority, just like me in my experience with Caitlin down in the hospital at the hospital, Children's Hospital in Fort Worth. If I believe these things are really true and I walk into a place where they got all these children, and there was 9 children in Cook's Medical Center on the wing that I was on. 9. I knew that sin of the parents is what put children in a hospital. I'd learned that. The people today has not learned that. So anyway, I went to each one of the parents, one by one. And I got the parents to repent of their sin. I prayed the prayer of faith over those children. I'll never forget that little boy, 2 years old, little Bray. I walked in there, and that little boy's laying there, and he's... he's in terrible shape. He was born in the hospital. He's 2 years old, and he's still in the hospital. 2 years. His liver had failed, and they needed a liver transplant. I told him, I said, it won't do any good to put a new liver in him because the sin of the parents is still there. That liver won't work either. But I said, if y'all will repent of your sin, I'll cast that demon of hell. I said, that's a demon of hell. If Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
If Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, then did you think he did it?
Oh, yes.
He did a good job of it, too. So I'll never forget reaching over after they repented of their sins. They told each other they loved each other, and they would walk in obedience to God's word. I knelt down beside that little bed. I walked in there, and there's that little guy with a nurse on this side and a nurse on this side. And I walk right up there and sit down, and I reach up and grab him by the shoulders. The little guy looks up at me right in the eyes, and I said, you devil of hell, you've lost this one. His mother and daddy have repented of sin. Now, I am not saying this but one time, you beast. You come out of this little boy, and you go to the abyss, and don't you ever come back in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And in 2 weeks... 2 weeks, little Bray Reed went home from the hospital, and he's still alive and well today.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Behold, I give unto you
power.
Does that word power begin to soak in yet? Behold, I give unto you
power
to tread on the beast. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over
all the power.
Over how much?
All.
You know, we ought to, all of us. I'm preaching to myself. We ought to have such power and so confidence that we are not just an overcomer. We are more than a conqueror, more than an overcomer. When we speak in the name of Jesus, we ought to get to the point of just like Cheryl and I. We've learned this, as she'll take somebody, we pray over people nearly every night. And she said, here's a pretty bad one right here. There's a whole bunch of stuff goes with it. She said, my goodness gracious, just look at all the problems they got. I said, but when I pray, all that's going to change. You have to do something in faith. And you pray and you kick out them devils. And I'm telling you, I couldn't even begin to tell you the number of people Cheryl and I have seen healed over the internet.
Yes.
I'm going to get bolder and bolder with the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It needs to be where that when I speak in the name of Jesus, it needs to happen every time, because every promise God give us as His sons and daughters are yes and amen.
Yes.
So when you speak, you should expect something to happen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll never forget that Andrew Womack deal down here. I was in Dallas, Fort Worth. Andrew Womack, he had a show, had a teaching. I went. I was in there, and whenever they give an invitation, so if there's any pastors here that wants to join with us in prayer, just come on down. So I just stepped out in the aisle and went down there. I got down there close to the front, and there's a girl walked up to me. When she walked up to me, she said, "Oh, Pastor Thurman Scribner, so good to see you. Do you still believe everything's a demon?" She said, "Yeah, I know you used to say there's a demon under every rock. Do you still believe that?" I said, "No, ma'am." "Oh, well, I'm glad you finally learned that." I said, "There's 100 under every rock." She said, I knew it. She said, that bone spur I've got in my foot, I guess you still think that's a demon." I said, "Of course it is. It's the devil of hell." So she starts saying, "You know, that's not true." And I reached up and grabbed her by the shoulders right there and shook her. And I said, "Come out of her, you lying devil of hell, and take that bone spur with you when you go, in Jesus' name." And I pushed her back, and I said, "Now, woman, tell me you still got a pain in your foot." She said, "Well, you know that didn't go away." She said, "My God, it's gone." She was healed right there in that church with Andrew Woman praying for people up there, and I'm over here on the other side. He don't even know I'm in the place. Don't make any difference. But if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, do you believe He done a good job?
Yes. Yes.
If He done a good job, then when you repent and break the power of the curse on those people, and you command that devil to come out of the people, including yourself, just like me, this thing is going to go away in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm going to kick this devil out, and some of you are going to be partakers in this. Because as I speak it and command it to leave, the day is coming when this devil is going to leave, and I'm going to be completely delivered. I'm going to have 20/10 vision. I'm going to be able to see perfect. I'm not giving up.
You know, right.
The devil won them bad when tomorrow he's going to look and say, "Oh my God, there's that 81-year-old man. He's going to pray again. I know what happened when he prays. He believes." And when you pray and you believe, what should you expect? You should expect your prayer to be answered.
Victory.
Every time.
Yes.
Wow. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Wow. If you've got all power and all authority over the devil, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, then how much power does that devil have left over you?
None.
None. So don't let him do it to you. Get tough with him. Get rough with him. Kick him out. Walk in obedience to God's word. Remember the man that said, get your pocket full of rocks, and when the devil comes after you, throw a rock, hit him right in the top of the head.
I love it.
If you get tough enough with him, he's going to go away just like he did, just like the Lord showed me. That's just like this scripture. In fact, I want you to see this in John 14:12. These scriptures will prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have been given complete power and complete authority over the enemy. and that he has to be subject to us. It's just that we're not using the power that's given to us. But John 14, 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Now, what do you do with that? I mean, what do you do?
Whatever you need.
I mean, if you got an enemy that's out there, and what does the scripture say in John 10:10? What does the enemy come to do?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
If he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that must mean we got a battle ahead of us, right?
Yes.
We're going to have to kick out that devil, kick out that beast, and I mean, make him be obedient to us.
Yes.
And if we don't, then he'll wind up killing you. I mean, the scripture clearly says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So the devil comes by and kills you, and you don't even know who you're fighting against. I mean, get rough with that beast. Always come against him with the word. I mean, take the word of God and say, Satan, look here, you devil of hell, in Jesus' name. In fact, one day I was studying seriously in John 14. 14, 12, 13, 14. And as I'm reading that, and I'm reading it, and I'm translating it into different translations. Scott and I looked for this last night, but we didn't find it last night. But somewhere in one of those translations that I was reading out of, John 14, 12, and 13, 14, it says, whatever you ask. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask, what can you do with, Lord, I ask you to deliver me from this devil.
Yes.
Now, if you ask that, will he do that?
Yes.
Yes, he will. He said he would. So, if you ask him to deliver you, and you know he wants to, and then you say, Lord, why is this so difficult? Stop and think about that. One more time, honey. Read John 14, 12, 13, 14. Listen to this closely.
Jesus is talking, by the way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
So if all that's true, and it's got to be true because it's in God's Word,
yes.
Why is it that we have to ask so many times?
Because we don't believe it.
We sure don't, yeah. In fact, one day I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand why you told me to ask. And so he led me to another scripture. And the scripture he led me to says, whatever you demand in my name. I said, Lord, why are you trying to be so hard to get along with?
Oh, no.
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, if you, Lord, if this is the case, you're trying to make this, you know, you want me to have this. When I have asked and I've asked and I've asked and I've asked and it's not happening, so what's the problem? What am I doing wrong? Why are you playing so hard to get? That's what I don't understand. If you really want me to have these things, why is it so hard to get through to these things? Why? And I look at that for a minute, and I say, okay, God, I got to have some understanding here. He said, son, when you ask, when you demand for that to happen, he said, you're not demanding from me. He said, I paid the price on the cross and gave you all this power for free. Did he give us the power?
Yes.
If he give us all power and all authority, give it to us, Then why are we having to demand it? He said, you're not demanding from me. You're demanding that from the devil. He's the one that's holding it back. Is that's why you have to come against him with it is written, and you demand and command the devil to leave. Now, I've already given it to you. I've done it. I've paid the price. I've sent my son. Everything is yours. You see that?
Yes.
So if you knew that you had Jesus over here on this side in this law court and the devil on this side over here, and this one over here has already paid the price for your debt, and you're trying to get him to release something, you realize it's not him that you're trying to get to release something. It's this devil over here. He's the one that's holding you back.
Yes.
When you realize and you see this picture, then you do like I did that day that I kicked that devil out driving down the road in my pickup. When I'm beating on that, I'm taking a club of the Word of God. Behold, I've given you power. Bam! Satan, I have power over you. Now get out of my life in Jesus' name. And you take that word and you say, Satan, you have to leave. You have to leave. Yes. This is like that one story. Sure, I think that's what, she told me this somewhere back there. There was a lady that went to Africa somewhere. And she was totally blind. And every time this
my head shot
that. Okay, when the lady would come up,
Grandma,
he would command the spirit of blindness to leave, mm-hmm. And then he'd say, "Woman, open your eyes, you can see." She couldn't see. Every night for six nights, this happened. The seventh night, finally, when he commanded it to leave, it left, and the blindness left. And the woman could see. So on the way home in the flight, the airplane, he's asking the Lord, said, Lord, I don't understand why your word didn't work the first six times. He said, son, my word worked every time. He said, what happened was that whenever you kicked that devil out, there was seven demons in that woman blinding her.
Like an octopus. Every time
seven demons blinding this woman. It said every time you kicked out one of them left, but there was still another one right there. There were seven of them there. So that seventh night, when you finally kicked out that seventh one, they were all gone, but said, my word worked every time.
Hallelujah.
Does that mean we need to give up when we go to battle with the devil?
No.
We need to go in there knowing that Jesus won the battle for you.
Yes.
And we're not going to give up. We're going to win this battle. We're going to fight this battle. We're going to drive out this devil of hell. And we are going to come out on top and be in the winner.
Hallelujah.
And that's just like me. I'm going to come out on top and be in the winner. And I'm going to have 20/10 vision.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be able to see. And don't let the devil overtake you. And don't let him intimidate you. You have been given all power over him, and nothing shall by any means hurt you in Jesus' name. If we really believe that, if we read that enough, I'm going to start reading that and standing on that word more and more every day, because I know that word is true. I've seen it work over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Haven't we?
Yes.
Do we believe it?
Yes.
So when we come against the enemy, don't quit.
No.
Stand your ground. But you know what we do?
We
pray and then we walk off. I can't handle this, Lord. I can't do this. Lord, I need help. He said, I know you need help. You need to stand on my word. Wow. What are you going to do?
Stand.
Is the book true?
Yes.
If the book is true, and it's really true, then when we have been given all power and all authority, we really have been given all power and all authority, so we need to not give up.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
This year, we're going to have a new, fantastic year, and we're going to learn more and more about His Word.
Yes.
We're going to learn how to stand on His word, and we're going to learn how to kick out them devils. And we need to, you know, sometimes you have to just speak the word out again and again and again. I think about that one woman that one time that had a heart problem. Her and her husband came here and to, I think, 4 or 5 or 6 healing schools before they finally got.
Yeah. She finally got it.
She finally got it. I remember that Saturday she came up and she said, "Pastor, today is my day." She said, I've got it. I'm going to stand on God's word. When you pray for me, I'm going to be healed. And when she went back to her doctor the next week, he said, "I've been a cardiologist for years and years, and I've never seen a person your age get a brand new heart." But said, "You got a brand new heart."
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
But you know, I told my nephew, I said, "Ricky," I told him as I was talking to him just a couple of days ago. I told him, I said, I don't know if I've talked to you since I broke my hip. He said, "No, I didn't know you'd broke your hip." I said, "Yep." I said, "Yeah, I broke it. I tripped on the pew in the church. And I broke my hip." But I said, standing on
the... You broke your femur, your thigh bone, honey.
Okay, whatever
not
it is.
Your broke your thigh bone that attaches to your
okay. Whatever, something in there.
You broke something.
I broke a bone in there. I saw the picture in the x-ray. The x-ray said it was broken. And then
the doctor, what was that? The
feet
assistant, yes.
What are you
calling?
MRI. MRI.
X-ray and MRI both said it was broken.
Yeah, everybody said my hip or my
femur
or whatever is broken. But I said, I'm going to trust God and God alone.
Amen.
And whenever, so everybody around here got to see God heal me, and
yes,
they saw me riding around in a wheelchair one day, and
it works good.
Are you gonna run down the aisle?
I can run down the aisle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, it belongs to me.
He's 18-year-old now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're
18 again.
Yeah.
You are.
I mean, did you see me running or did you
I
see
am.
Me running?
Oh, you're running. And your cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And his cowboy boots.
That wasn't bad for an 81-year-old, was it?
Praise God.
Now, if I can do that.
You can do anything.
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise. That's the first time I've run. I never thought of that, but it feels pretty good to just start running.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you for healing me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am so grateful for your healing power and that you release it to your children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and ain't nothing impossible with you. And the beautiful part about it, there was not one single pain. I don't know where, as I run down the aisle and run back, not one single pain. Nowhere in my body I'm healed. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Praise God. Well, you know, tomorrow's your birthday. Let's all sing happy birthday to Pastor.
Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Praise the Lord.
Okay, I've got some prayer warriors here that wants to pray for you. So the prayer warriors, stand up. If you need to be prayed for, you find one of these people and you come down and get you one of us, and we will pray for you. And if you will believe and repent of your sin, we guarantee God will heal you. He'll meet your needs, will he not?
Absolutely, he will.
Oh, what a God we serve. What a God. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This week and this month and this year, I trust that each one of you here today will increase in your knowledge and wisdom of God's mighty word, and that you may become a prayer warrior that can do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
We want to get to where we see everybody that's prayed for healed every time. Remember, repent of sin. Walk in obedience to His word. And He will forgive you. He will heal you. And He will bless you.
Yes, Lord.
He'll even let you run down the aisle.
Amen.
Wow, praise God. I love all of y'all.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Praise the Lord. Keep up the good work and look to see Jesus this next year.
Yep.